Greetings, brethren. Welcome to the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And having the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we learn that sin, human nature, the ways of the world, Satan the devil, all represent leaven. And we need to have God help us take these things out of our lives and deliver us and lead us. And so on this last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, there is a theme for this day, just like there was for the Passover and the night to be much observed. And the theme for this day was, never look to the circumstances. You need to believe, trust, and have faith in God for his deliverance. God will deliver. God is there. Now, the children of Israel are a tremendous example of what happens when people forget God. Look at what God did to the whole land of Egypt in order to deliver them from the Egyptians, to take them out of the land of Egypt, take them to himself as a people. And of course, it was a difficult process all the way through. Look at the miracle that he did in killing the firstborn. Look at the miracle that he did in bringing them out. And they were all happy and all just a wonderful thing that they were going to have and do. But now then, there is a little difficulty that comes along, okay? Because God wants to know what is in our heart. God wants to know through the circumstances that we come across in our lives whether we will trust him, believe him, and obey him all the time. Now, after they left Egypt, they started toward the promised land. And they had the pillar of the cloud before them in day and the fire at night. Now, let's come to Exodus 14. So God deliberately took the people in a different way that they expected. So let's pick it up here, verse 1, chapter 14. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, you shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will save the children of Israel. They are trapped in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. Now, God deliberately took them that way because he wanted to do something for them. He wanted to show them that only he could deliver them. And he also wanted to show them that while they were happy to get rid of Pharaoh, who's a type of Satan, the devil, and get away from the Egyptians, which is the way the world is, and also likened to the demonic hordes that rule this world as well, but that only God can really bring the complete deliverance. So he brought them there to be alongside the Red Sea. And it was narrow right along the Red Sea, so it was the whole column. And God gave the reason to Moses as to why. Verse 3, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are trapped in the land, the wilderness has shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he will follow them, and I will be glorified through Pharaoh and all his army, so that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now, we're going to see that in spite of these circumstances, and you look at circumstances, and many times you look at the circumstances and you think, oh no, this is never going to work. We don't know how this is going to come about. We don't understand what's going to happen. How can this work out? All right, let's see what happened. Verse 5, and the king of Egypt was told that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this? Why have we let Israel go from serving us? And he made his chariot ready, and he took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. Now, they figured they could hurry up and go down there and get them and bring them back and make them serve them, wait on them hand and foot, make the bricks, build the buildings. So the Egyptians pursued them and all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them, camping by the sea beside Pi-Hiroth before Baal-Zephon. Now the children of Israel had no idea what was going to happen. And so all of a sudden, they hear a noise out on the horizon. They see the dust cloud of the approaching chariots. And then they began to see, it's Pharaoh and his armies. Verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, now you see, many times in circumstances that are taking place, we don't understand them when they occur. That's why we need to look to God. Don't look to the individual involved. Don't look to the problem of just human beings being involved in it, just like the children of Israel. Now notice what they did. And here is the lesson for the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it's one we need to learn every year, reinforce every year. It's something we need to keep in mind and practice and learn and live by it. This is why, brethren, we need study and prayer every day. This is why, in the messages that I have given leading up to the time of Passover and unleavened bread, I haven't quite finished it yet, but I will. But with the grace that God has given us, we have direct connection with God the Father in Jesus Christ. We have the help of the angels. We have God. We are on God's side. And if we are on God's side, then he is on our side. But here's what they did. They said to Moses, they accused him, why have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Because there were no graves in Egypt? There's plenty of places to bury us there. Why have you dealt this way with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Did we not tell you this word in Egypt, saying, let us alone so that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Circumstances looked overwhelming. Here's the sea on the one side. Here are the mountains on the other side. And you can't go forward. And you can't go back because Pharaoh was coming with all of his army and so forth. But they accused Moses. See, that's what happens when you look to a man. You've got to look to God. And you've got to keep looking to God. And Moses, of course, always pointed them to God. But you see, as we're going to understand from this lesson that we're going to learn from the Word of God for the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that we cannot take things into our hands because the circumstances are not what we would like them to be. But we need to trust God. We need to believe God. We need to understand that deliverance only comes from God. So here they are in an intractable position. And Moses said to the people, fear not. Now, that's easy to say. Don't fear. You look out there, here come the soldiers and the chariots and the horses with their spears and everything, and you don't have anything. Stand still. This is what you need to do. Don't run off and do your own thing. Stand still before God. Stand still in the grace of God. Stand still in the love of God. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. Now that's how God is going to deal in our lives. He will take care of it. Now, we may have a test coming along where it's going to take a little while. Here in this case, didn't need to take a long time. But this is a great deliverance for all of these people. Okay? For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall never see them again. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall be still. Don't complain against the man. Don't complain about the circumstances. Don't ask pity-patty little problems and say, oh, why is this happening, God? Because God wants to know, do you believe him? Do you trust him? Do you have confidence in him? Do you wait for his deliverance? Do you cry out to him for his deliverance? All right. The Lord shall fight for you and you shall be still. So we have to ask God to fight for us. Lord, this battle is greater than me. Lord, I don't know what to do with this. Lord, I've gotten myself into some pretty difficult circumstances here and I need some wisdom and understanding and need your deliverance and your righteousness to help. Need your spirit to guide and lead. Yes, that's how we need to handle it here. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. So we are to not fear. We are to stand still rather than run off and do something that we want to do. And then we go forward God's way, according to what he has said. See, because God wants to know what's in our hearts. Did not God try Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and now here is the trial for the children of Israel. So he told Moses, see. Now sometimes we think we don't have any weapon that we can use or that we don't have anything that will be a benefit for us. So he said to Moses, and you, Moses, lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it. Now we don't know how deep the Red Sea was at that place. And it wasn't way over yonder on the other side of Sinai toward Arabia. That's a figment of the imagination of some people who do not understand what happened. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now stop and ask something. Is anything impossible for the Lord? No. Is God able to deliver? Yes. Do we have to have faith in what God said he would do and that he would deliver? Yes. That's quite a thing. You look at that expanse of water and say, we're going across on dry ground. Now, how's that going to be? And it was a vast expanse, too. And behold, I'm about to harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get honor for myself upon Pharaoh and over all his army and over his chariots and over his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I will be glorified through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then an angel of the Lord went and he put a barrier between the Egyptians and the children of Israel. So what happened was, here's the Red Sea. Here are the children of Israel alongside the Red Sea. Here comes Pharaoh and his armies, and the angel came by and put up a barrier so that Pharaoh and his armies came over on this side of the barrier, and they probably laid themselves out in getting ready for an attack formation. They came late in the day, so they were probably going to stay over there and wait until the morning to attack. Who went before the camp of Israel, and he went into the rear of them, and the pillar of cloud went in front of them, and it stood still between them. And it came to pass that the camp of the Egyptians, between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, it was a cloud of darkness to one, to the Egyptians, but gave light by night to the other, so that the two did not come near one another all night. Moses stretched out his rod. God sent an east wind, and he moved the waters back. Now, in order for them to get across in the short period of time that they got across there, it had to be the column of the children of Israel like this, and they had to go across in a flanking movement across the Red Sea. Now, verse 22. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. Yes, hey, look, Mom, used to be water here, it's dry. And the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left, but it was stretched out quite a ways. Wasn't the little narrow channel that you have in the movies concerning the Exodus or the Ten Commandments, because they wouldn't have been able to get across. It would have taken them hours and hours and hours to get across. They hurried and got across. And in the morning watch, it came to pass, the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire into the cloud, and the army of the Egyptians was thrown into confusion. And he loosed their chariot wheels. Yes, see, look down there, Pharaoh's coming. And he pursued them, verse 23, into the middle of the sea in his chariots. And God had a tremendous thing that he did. He loosed the chariot wheels, made them go heavily, verse 25, and the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. See, God has to fight our battles for us. Sometimes there are things we can do. Other times, there's nothing we can do but trust God and do whatever God leads us to do. So after they were in there, and now circumstances are really getting terrible. So then God said to Moses, stretch out your rod. And the seas came back. Can you imagine the rushing noise of the sea? And the Egyptians tried to flee from it, but they couldn't get away from it. Verse 38, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and horsemen, all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, and there did not remain so much as one of them. Think about that. We are entering into a time of difficulties and problems that we see coming in the world. And we're going to have to rely on God to help us, to lead us, to guide us, to deliver us. We're going to have to believe in God, believe God and what he says, and look to him for his deliverance, for his help, for his intervention. Now, verse 29, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land through the middle of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and the left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. Now stop and think about this for a minute. As we go through our lives, as we see the things that are going to be coming on in the world, we're going to need God to save us. We're going to need God to intervene for us. We're going to need God to help us. This is why we need to maintain our relationship with God all the time. And they saw the great works of God. They rejoiced in it. They proclaimed, God is a man of war. God fought for us. This was a wonderful and a complete victory. All right. Now let's see what happens with human nature. How quickly that they forgot. They crossed over. They got there. They went 3 days' journey into the wilderness. And guess what? No water. Now here's what happened. Chapter 15 and verse 23. Again, don't look to the circumstances. Look to God. Let him give the answer. Let him lead in the way. Let him help you. And you trust in him. Verse 23, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Isn't that the way people are? Now, here, sometime a couple of months ago, about 6 weeks ago, Here was this big cruise ship stuck down in Mexico. And it was amazing, the reactions of people. Some were incensed, some had problems and difficulties, swearing, cursing, bringing lawsuits. Others got off and they were happy. They were glad that everything was worked out. And there was especially, I thought it was very interesting, that there were a group of people there who got together and studied the Bible. And they didn't have any problems, and they didn't have any contention and fighting and worries. And when they got off, everything was fine. See, they learned to make the best of the circumstances that they were in. So here you are, accusing God. So Moses, again, being attacked by the people, think of poor Moses, everything that he went through, because the people were rebellious against God and rebellious against him. And so, verse 25, and he, that is Moses, cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. Now, sometimes there's something that can be done. God here showed what needed to be done to make the waters sweet. Now, also, there's another thing here that's interesting for us to remember and keep in mind, especially in the days we are living in, with all the sickness, with all the disease, with all the problems that are coming. We need to ask God for his help, for his deliverance, for his kindness, for his goodness, for his healing. All right? There he made a decree and a law for them. There he proved them, all of these things to prove him. And he said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and how many times have we understood that is the key important thing, obey the voice of the Lord, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his laws, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. And brethren, today we need that an awful lot. We need God's healing. Let's be sure, pray for one another. Let's be sure to really yield to God, so that God will heal, that God will raise up, that God will remember his promise that he gave to the children of Israel. And remember, Jesus gave authority to all the apostles over every sickness, every disease, and the force of the enemy. He gave them authority and power. And so we need to really keep that in mind. I know I do. We send out a lot of anointed cloths, and God intervenes to help and to heal. But it's not what we do. It's what God does. It's not because of righteousness that emanates from any of us that these things get accomplished. No, it's what God does, that he will help, that he will deliver. All right. Now let's look at something here that's important for us to understand. Let's come to Deuteronomy, the first chapter. Deuteronomy, the first chapter. Now, here it's important to understand that we do what God wants us to do. Now, the children of Israel were told that they could go in the land. And they sent out the spies to spy it out for 40 days. You find that in Numbers 14. And that's after all of the provoking that happened. All the way through the rebellion, you can read all of Psalm 78, all of the things that the children of Israel did to tempt God, to not believe him, to not trust him. And you see, all of these are lessons for us, but here is an important thing for us to realize. Okay? The 12 spies came back. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, gave a good report, and all the others moaned and groaned. Oh, the walls are high, the cities are big, the people are tall, and there is no way that we can win the battles. And God got angry at them. And he said, all right, you have provoked me these 10 times. You have tempted me these 10 times. Now then, you're not going to go into the promised land. I told you to go in, but you refused to go. So now, my judgment against you for refusing to go is that you are going to wander in the wilderness for another 38 and a half years, 40 years altogether. And there's something else that's going to happen, because all of you accused me, God, that I was going to kill your children. Well, what's going to happen? All of you who, over 20, who accused me, you are going to die. All that generation from 21 and up. And the children that you said I was going to kill, they're going to go into the land and take it. Well, the people didn't like that. They didn't like that. Okay? So what the people did, they finally said, verse 41, after they refused. Now, this is the thing. When God tells you to do something, don't refuse. And when God's judgment has already come, it has already come. And you cannot take your own devices and think that you're going to work it out yourself, because unless God is with you, it's not going to happen. So they feigned repentance. Verse 41, and you answered and said to me, we've sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight to all that the Lord has commanded us. And when each one of you had buckled on his weapons of war, you were ready to go up into the hill. But the Lord said to me, say to them, do not go up nor fight, for I am not among you. Now, this is the fault that people have all the time. They think that they can do it their way when God says, no, you do it my way. For I am not among you, you will be beaten by your enemies. So I spoke to you, and you would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord and went up presumptuously into the hill. And the Amorites who lived in that mountain came out against you and chased you, even as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir to Hormath. And you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear to you. So you stayed in Kadesh Barnea according to the days that you remained there. What an absolute disaster that was. Here it is, God with him. Here it is, God ready to bring them into the promised land. They didn't want to go. All right? Now, there's some circumstances that happened to people, and it's difficult for us to really look to it. Now, let's come to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and let's see, there is hope. God promises a way, but not through rebellion. Not through doing it our way, not through thinking that our devices are going to make it work, not thinking that our plans or our schemes are the answer to what God wants us to do. We have to take it to God. We have to look at the Word of God. We have to ask for the Spirit of God. We have to ask for His direction, His guidance, His blessing, and everything in our lives. Now, 1 Corinthians 10, Paul writes this, that they were all baptized under the cloud and in the sea. They all drank of that same spiritual rock, verse 4, for that rock that followed them was Christ. Now, verse 5, but with many of them God was not pleased, and their dead bodies were strewn in the wilderness. Now, these things became examples for us. Now, examples in the Greek is topos, or type. So that we might not lust after evil things as they lusted, neither be idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither should we commit sexual immorality as some of them committed, and 23,000 were destroyed in one day. Now notice, neither should we tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted him and were killed by serpents. So this shows that Christ Christ is the Lord God of the Old Testament. Neither should we complain against God, as some of them also complained and were killed by the destroyer. Now, all of these things happened to them as examples and were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the earth are coming. Therefore, let the one who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Now, stop and think about that. How many times have we seen, even within the churches of God, that people get angry at something, they get bitter, they get mad, and they get carnal, and bam, they're out of here. Rather than coming to God, rather than looking for his deliverance, rather than trusting him, rather than believing him, they go to their own devices, just like the children of Israel did after God said, since you refuse to go in, you are not going in. Do not fight. Do not go up. I am not among you. And they got waxed. Well, same way with us. Now, here's a promise. Whatever the circumstances are, and you can look at them, you can read about some of the things that happened to the Apostle Paul, and all of the circumstances that occurred to him. Read 2 Corinthians 11, all that the Apostle Paul went through. And he came to count it all joy when those things came upon him. Now, it's difficult for us to do that because we're not at the same level of spirituality as Paul. Now, verse 13, here is a promise. Now, no temptation has come upon you except what is common to mankind. Now, that's why we have the Old Testament to read it, so we can know and understand. For God, who is faithful, remember that. When you have troubles and difficulties, don't go and complain. Praise God for his help, for his strength, for his kindness, for his love, for his goodness, for his forgiveness, for his deliverance, for his intervention, that he will help you. He calls himself our helper. Christ is our helper. Now notice, who is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted, above what you are able to bear. Sometimes they're very difficult circumstances, and sometimes there are things that are hard to handle, but God will give you the strength. And look at it this way. And we will see this a little later on. The scripture says, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So it will work out. And remember, there are always two sides to the coin. The blessing on the one hand, the cursing on the other hand, and the deliverance that will come from God so that we won't be tempted beyond what we're able to bear. But with the temptation, he will make a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. All right. Now let's come and see how God is going to deliver. God will deliver us. Let's come to Psalm 7. Back here to the book of Psalms. And of course, the Psalms are very important in helping us have the kind of attitude, learning how to pray and come before God and understand how to approach him, understand how God delivered David, understand how God delivered Israel in their circumstances, and how God had mercy and pity upon them. Here's Psalm 7. Now notice what this does. We go to God for help, for comfort, for intervention, for deliverance, because we believe him and we trust him and we follow him. Now let's see how all of this works together in Psalm 7. O Lord my God, in you have I taken refuge. Notice how he prays. Save me from all who pursue me and deliver me. Now notice, refuge, salvation, and deliverance. lest he tear my soul like a lion, ripping it in pieces, and there is no one to help. O Lord my God, if I have done this, whatever the sin is, if there is iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil to the one who was at peace with me, or if I have plundered my enemy without cause, then let the enemy pursue my soul and take it. Let him trample down my life upon the earth and lay my honor in the dust, Selah. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift up yourself against the rage of my enemies and awake for me at the judgment which you have commanded. So God is right there to help. God is right there to bring us deliverance and help and truth and understanding. Now let's come over here to Psalm 18. Right here at the beginning, we read there in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, how that rock was Christ. But notice how it's emphasized here in Psalm 18. Verse 1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. And that's what we need to do. Go to God and let him know we love him. We love you because you have called us. We love you because you have sent Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for our sins. We love you because you forgive our sins. We love you because you've given us your Holy Spirit. We love you because you have opened our minds to understand your truth. All of those things, see? Now notice, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. Yes, God has to deliver us. And remember, God is the only one who is able to rescue us from Satan the devil, exactly in the same way that God was the only one to rescue the children of Israel there at the Red Sea and take them across on the dry land. Couldn't have been rescued any otherwise. My deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. Yes, that is a tremendous thing. Look at how he looked to God. Look at how David gave God all the glory. Now, David had his faults. David had his mistakes. David had his difficulties. But God never cast him down. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Then he goes through and shows how God dealt in the battle to help him and save him. Let's come over here to last part of the psalm, verse 46. Again, we have the same thing. The Lord lives. God has not gone way off someplace. He is not out there just forgetting us. He loves us. He's called us. He wants us. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock. Again, the rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted, the God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. Now notice, God gives the deliverance. He delivers me from my enemies. You lift me up above those who rise up against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Quite a thing. You read through the psalm. Boy, David really went through a lot in his lifetime. He surely did. But he was a man after God's heart because he trusted in him. And even when he sinned, and in the case of Bathsheba, it was a difficult proposition indeed. Yet God forgave him because he repented. Likewise with us. If we've done things that we shouldn't do, things that are not right, things that are sin, then we need to confess our sins, get rid of our sins, just like we have seen. God is there through the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive us all our sins and all of our unrighteousnesses and to deliver us from evil. Okay? Verse 49. Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. He gives great deliverance to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forever. And we are part of that seed. So that's really a tremendous, amazing thing for us to realize. All right, let's take a short break and we'll be back.